What do we think of Justin Upton's career? And what do we think of one of my listeners' plans for realignment? Don't go gently into that good night. This is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. If you can read my lower third right there, you know you can call me Sully. Thanks so much for making Locked On MLB your first listeners. We're available for free on all your favorite podcast platforms. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about Justin Upton and a realignment proposal that came from someone who listened to the show. Why did I quote Dylan Thomas at the top? I'll tell you why in a minute. You can follow us on Twitter at Lockdown MLB Pod, same handle for Instagram. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Lockout goes on, and it's getting harder and harder to have current stories to talk about. The Angels did make a minor league move. You can make minor league moves because they haven't locked out the minor leagues. And the Angels have decided to sign the late Welsh poet Dylan Thomas, whose most famous work was A Child's Christmas in Wales, and also was famous for the quote in the poem, "Do not go gentle into that good night." Actually, they signed someone else named Dylan Thomas. It's just when I hear Dylan Thomas, that's what I thought of. I actually not a big poetry fan, but Dylan Thomas was a huge name. And so when I hear Dylan Thomas signed with the Angels, it just made me think that Artie Moreno was reading a book of poetry, heard Dylan Thomas was available, and said, ha. Meanwhile, the poet that he really need is Homer. But Dylan Thomas played for the Seattle Mariners, and boy, did he make an impact. He played four games. Got one hit in nine plate appearances, total bases one. And he's going to head over. He's a left-handed hitter, a left-handed outfielder, who played many years in the Colorado Rockies organization, and they were grooming him to be a bit of a speedster. Not a big power threat, although he did hit for decent power in 2021 in the Mariners organization after being kicked around between the Mariners and the Rockies and the Brewers. And he got to play in the major leagues. The native of Houston, Texas, got to be a major leaguer. So Dylan Thomas, the poet and the baseball player, are both invited to be a guest on Locked On MLB. So there you go. One of the few transactions we could talk about during this lockout. It's come to this. Hey, if Dylan Thomas makes it to the outfield in Anaheim, the Angels are certainly hoping that he is going to be playing alongside the man who is creating poetry in the outfield for the Angels, which is, of course, Mike Trout. Trout missed most of this last year. He is the best player in baseball and was getting off to one of his best starts for the first 36 games, and then he was hurt, and they didn't bring him back. And the Angels outfield, you know, you're going to have Trout. They're hoping that Joe Adell, who also played 36 games for the Angels this last year, will finally break out. He's in his mid-20s. They got a fine year from Brandon Marsh, who got a couple of key hits from time to time. And obviously, if you have Trout in your outfield, it's not bad. It's funny, Mike Trout is almost a walking argument against people who don't pick him right in the draft. He was the 25th pick overall in the 2009 draft. The best player of this generation, there were 24 picks ahead of him in the draft. And one of them was by the Angels. The Angels had the pick just before they picked Randall Grichuk, who turned into a fine player. The number one pick in that year's draft was Steven Strasburg, who, again, fine player, wound up being the World Series MVP. But man, oh man, you think the Mariners would like to have their number two overall pick back? Well, they went with Dustin Ackley. Well, the Padres, who drafted Donovan Tate, who never even made it to the major leagues. All these teams who, you know, some of the players who were drafted ahead of Mike Trout turned into good players. Zach Wheeler turned into a good player. Mike Leake turned into a good player. Drew Storen turned into, you know, a major leaguer. A.J. Pollock turned into a major leaguer. They were all picked ahead of Mike Trout. And goes to show you that being the number one pick overall does not necessarily mean that you are going to become a great superstar. And it's kind of weird that the Angels do have a number one pick overall in their outfield. It's just not Mike Trout. It's Justin Upton. And I was thinking about this. Justin Upton is in the final year of his contract, and he will play left field for them. And I guess ideally for the Angels, they would have Trout in center, Adele in right, and a combination in left. And, you know, Upton's not an old guy, and you would think he may have deep in him one really big burst and possibly be someone who can contribute to a title team. But I was having a weird sort of philosophical thought process about Justin Upton. And what do we make of this guy's career? He was the number one pick overall by Arizona in the 2005 draft. He was drafted out of high school in Chesapeake, Virginia. His brother, he went by BJ Upton, and then he changed to Melvin Upton. I still think of him as BJ Upton, whatever he wants to call himself, because is he now Melvin Upton? Fine, whichever one it is, I'll respect whatever name he has, but it was, Justin Upton was supposed to be the big, huge star. And he has a very difficult career to define. What do we make of this guy's career? On the one hand, he has never blossomed into the head-turning superstar, you know, the continual MVP candidate that you would want to have with your number one pick overall. And the last couple of years he's had with the Angels, he's been bad. I mean, he has been, I'm not clinging to WAR as a metric, but if you're someone who's into WAR as a metric, his WAR is in the negatives, which means according to that metric, they'd be better off with the definition of mediocre in the field instead of Justin Upton. If you like more traditional stats, I mean, has a low batting average. He has a mediocre slugging. His OPS is mediocre. His OPS plus is the definition of mediocre, hovering around 90. You know, he'll get into a couple. He wound up hitting 9 home runs in the truncated 2020 season. He had 17 home runs last year, which is, you know, fine if you're a part-time player and you didn't play 90 games. He hasn't played, he played 145 games in 2018. And before that, he was a pretty durable player, but he's not been someone who you look at, like, oh man, he's a difference maker. He's someone you want to see on the team. And yet when you look cumulatively at his career, I mean, he's hit 324 home runs career-wise. I mean, if he continues hitting 15, 16 home runs for a few years, he could be whispering at 400 home runs for his career. He has been a top 10 MVP. He has been an all-star with several different organizations. And, you know, and he has had, you know, look, if you look up, he said your number one pick overall is a 4-time all-star, a 3-time silver slugger, has an outside shot at 400 home runs, and has played 15 years in the major leagues. And remember, he is currently 34 years old. He could still play, especially if there's, you know, the DH spot is going to be probably Shohei Ohtani for the, you know, for the foreseeable future, but he could be a potential outfielder DH for the next bunch of years and someone who could get himself in the right situation to hit a bunch of home runs and be a productive player. When you go to baseballreference.com, the single greatest website in the history of the planet Earth, you look at the players who has those similarity scores. It's players like Ronnie Gant, Reggie Sanders, Jermaine Dye, Matt Kemp, Greg Luzinski, some of these players who are good, solid players who had a really high peak that may have altered what we think about them. But how great a career did some of those players have? Well, they were good players who had a really good peak and hung around for a long time. I mean, Reggie Sanders is kind of the quintessential example of that, who he, you know, had a couple of really great years early on with the Reds, hung around, wound up playing in the World Series with a bunch of teams, winning a ring with the Diamondbacks, playing with the Giants, playing with the Cardinals, and every once in a while having a big postseason highlight. He had a couple of huge home runs in the playoffs when he played for the St. Louis Cardinals. So Justin Upton is exactly that type of player who may wind up having a postseason like a, you know, Jorge Soler. You know, he gets hot at the exact right time. So was Justin Upton a success as the number one pick overall? Had a really good career. Is he going to the Hall of Fame? No. But there's a big gray area between Hall of Fame and bust. I think one of the things you have to look at is you take a look at that draft in 2005. Upton was the number one pick overall. Okay. Ryan Braun was also in that draft. He has his baggage. Andrew McCutchen was in that draft. He was an MVP, but now he's out of the league. Troy Tulowitzki had a huge peak. He's now out of the league. You know, Alex Gordon. There's a lot of people who were really talented in that draft who had really high peaks, but also flamed out because of injury. Clay Buchholz is in there. Jacoby Ellsbury is in there. Well, this is a pretty good draft for the Red Sox. They also drafted Jed Lowry. And, you know, Colby Rasmus was in there. These are all players who had very, very good parts to their career, but got injured, got flamed out. Jacoby Ellsbury, when he was healthy, was an MVP candidate. He never stayed healthy. You know, Clay Buchholz was an all-star and a dominant pitcher when he was healthy. Didn't stay healthy. Troy Tulowitzki looked like he was going to be a Hall of Famer. He couldn't stay healthy. Andrew McCutchen was the face of Pittsburgh baseball and beloved in Pittsburgh. He's injury prone right now. So, you know, Justin Upton is still chugging along. And he was probably the youngest of that bunch anyway. So, I mean, which one of those players should the Diamondbacks have drafted instead? Braun? His baggage? You know, would they have been better off drafting? You know, Alex Gordon, you know, who was probably, when you look at him and he's, you know, he's nearing the end of his career. Again, super high peak for him. You know, became one of the, they thought they were getting the next George Brett. And instead, they got a really, really good defensive outfielder who was a key part of winning the World Series in 2015. Got a couple of big hits, scored a couple of key runs. Diamondbacks better off with him? I don't know the answer. And I want you to tell me your thoughts, because I think that Justin Upton was a pretty good number one pick overall. I mean, remember, there are people who have been picked number one who never make it to the majors or who get riddled with injuries. That Royals team in 2015 had Luke Hochaver on that team. Glad he got a World Series ring, made it to the majors, but he was the number one pick overall that year. But weird, weird feeling about Upton. What do I make of this man's career? So go tweet me at Sully Baseball and let me know what you're thinking. And it's a surefire bet that some of you are going to agree with me and some of you are going to disagree with me. And if you're going to make any bets, go to Bet Online, which remains the number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From baseball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right down to your favorite Las Vegas casino game, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers we have for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. And hey, we're going to keep it going here. We're going to talk about FanTrax. Baseball fans, it's already been an interesting offseason. We've been locked out. It won't be long before pitchers and catchers report, assuming they will. I'm going to give you the best inside track on the absolute finest fantasy baseball platform in the industry. It's FanTrax. FanTrax is the most customizable MLB fantasy platform in the industry, offering the greatest fantasy experience for your dynasty, keeper, draft, redraft, and best ball leagues. Create or join a fantasy baseball commissioner league. Invite your friends. Dominate your draft this season. It's also the top dynasty fantasy baseball platform in the industry. Go deep with the ultimate keeper and dynasty league. Create a simple redraft package or even a customizable best ball league with up to 2,000 teams. Coming from another service, FanTrax can import any of your current leagues and customize if needed. Ever have a trade go wrong, make a mistake of dropping a player? FanTrax commissioner tools allow you to undo any move with a simple click. Among the most trusted names in fantasy sports since 2008, FanTrax invites you to sign up today for free. If you do, you'll be entered to win an official Major League Baseball signed Fernando Tatis Jr. baseball. Go to FanTrax.com/lockedon. Use promo code TATIS when you sign up to be eligible to win. If there's anything lacking in your current fantasy league manager, FanTrax likely has it. Fantasy sports don't sleep, and neither does FanTrax. With seasons running 365 days a year, yes, even during a lockout, there's a reason why fantasy players who try FanTrax make it their permanent home for all their fantasy leagues. Don't miss this opportunity. Sign up today to win the official signed Fernando Tatis Jr. baseball. Simply go to FanTrax.com/lockdown. Use promo code TATIS. FanTrax is the home of fantasy sports. Play ball! All right. A couple of weeks ago, I did a podcast where I talked about my thoughts about realignment. And I wanted to have some people's thoughts on the subject. And so I threw it out there. And one of my loyal listeners, a guy named Scott Campbell, wrote me an email on the subject, and I wanted to bring it up right now. Hold on, I'm gonna read it here. I actually have it on my phone. I have my, as Jimmy Pardo would say, my information phone here. I'm not endorsing any product here. It just happens to be what I have in my hand. Let's see what we got here. So a loyal listener of the podcast is, his name is Scott Campbell. And he wrote, "Good afternoon." I like to think he said it like Vincent Price. "There are many who say Major League Baseball would fail as a regional sport. I don't. But I think we agree it would be better for the sport overall if it is." So he had his change for his realignment. Now, reminding you, my version of realignment was to create, to eliminate American League and National League. If we have a universal DH, we basically have split it into four divisions, East, South, Central, West, expand by two teams, and each division would have eight teams in it, and that would make it 32 teams overall. You'd have to figure out what's going on with the Rays, going on with the A's, put a team somewhere in the Nashville, Charlotte region, and I would put a team in Portland. I know a lot of people put a team in Montreal. I would love to see a team in Montreal for that matter. And then boom, we go that way. Scott Campbell has a different version of it. And I'm going to go over it in this segment. And then the final segment, we're going to break it down. Okay. Now this Scott Campbell's version of this, and he wrote this to me by an email. So if you have any ideas on this, send it to me at info@sellybaseball.com. Change would require four things to happen. It's turned out to be more than four things. But anyway, a National League expansion team, boom. An AL expansion team, boom. An NL team moving to the AL, an AL team moving to the NL. So he's apparently keeping the two leagues. If you're going to send one AL team back to the NL, for me it would be the Astros, and one National team back to the American League, that would be the Brewers, but I digress. And he would have a National League East. He has only three teams in the National League East, which would be the Expos, which I guess would be the expansion team. the Mets and the Phillies. I already have an issue with this. We'll keep moving on. His NL Central has the Cubs, Reds, Pirates, and Brewers. His South has the Braves, Astros, Marlins, and Cardinals. That's interesting. And the NL West has the Arizona, Los Angeles, San Diego, and the Giants. So according to, it looks like he's moved the Rockies from the NL to the AL, and it looks like he's moved the Astros back to the National League. I'd like to see the Astros back in the National League, but that's just me. And then he has an American League East, which is the Orioles, the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Blue Jays. That's your East. Your Central is the White Sox, Indians, Tigers, Twins. The South is an expansion team in Charlotte. I would put it in Nashville ahead of Charlotte, but Charlotte should be fine. Kansas City, boy, this is going to be rough travel for the Royals because their team, Kansas City, the Rays, and the Rangers. Okay, boy, you're going to have the traveling secretaries going to be earning their money there. The AL West has the Angels, the Rocks, Oakland, he's the A's staying there, and the Mariners. So he has the A's and the Rays staying in their current teams. This would provide a focus on each region and time zone. One of the biggest issues for fan viewership is watching your team play in another time zone. Well, that's true. In the National Football League, if you're a fan of a team that's on the East Coast and they play out West, you have to stay up late to watch a pitch. In the NFL, I think he meant the Major League Baseball. I don't know. This would mostly limit the problem. If you're in the NFL, most of your teams are playing Saturday or Sunday in the afternoon. And so that's, you know, the time zone stuff is as big a problem in football. This would mostly eliminate that problem. Each season would be reduced to 144 games. Interesting. With the focus being on play within the regional division, each league would play three teams. Each league would play three teams in the division, total of six times, three at home, three on the road, and there would be no interleague play. The All-Star game would happen in the middle of the year. You know I don't like that. And every series during the regular season is three games, no two or four game series. I'd love to hear your thoughts. This might be a whole show. Well, it's not going to be a whole show. It's going to be, these two segments here. But there's a lot to unpack there. Just keeping the American League and the National League and making it more regionalized. And there, you know, what I like about this is there's some forward thinking here from Scott Campbell, and that there's addressing some of the issues like the length of schedule and creating what should be natural rivalries with the different teams. There are some things about this I like, but man, there's some things here which I have a big problem with. So tell you what. I'm going to give this some thought here. By the way, Scott Campbell has been a loyal follower of the podcast, both when it was Sully Baseball and this one. If you want to follow him on Twitter, it's MTG Pack Foils. He's a foil card collector, not just baseball, but like Star Wars and D&D and X-Men and all that sort of stuff. He's a classic card collector. He's a fun follow. He's based somewhere out in Ohio. To me, all of Ohio is just Akron. But some stuff I want to unpack there. We're going to talk about in the final segment some of my thoughts, but I need a little boost energy. And what better way to get your boost of energy than by grabbing a Built Bar? And I have, just off camera, a crate, a giant wooden crate full of Built Bars. All the best Built Bars, all the best flavors. And let me just tell you, Built Bars are filled with so much goodness. They're rich with a decadent flavor. They're covered in chocolate. They're amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, fat. They're high in protein. You can have the best of both worlds. It's delicious and healthy. It's a 5-2 player. You got so many flavors. What do I have here? I got the double chocolate here. You know that's good. You know why? Because chocolate is good. Imagine two of them. All right? Mint brownie, cherry, cookies and cream, peanut butter brownie. My personal favorite is raspberry. I love the tanginess of the raspberry mixed with the chocolate. It's fantastic. And you know what? There's so many great flavors. And all of us here at Locked On MLB, we get tons of Built Bars because of their sponsorship. And when we have our group meetings, we love talking. Did you get that one? There was a lemon cheesecake. Oh, it was so good. I got this. And so we talk about how much we love a lot of these flavors. And they're fantastic. And we get passionate about it. You know, I'll roll my sleeves up if you want to say something bad about raspberry. But you want to warm to something, you know, cozy up to something warm. Here's a holiday secret. You're going to take this. I got my double chocolate one. I'm going to dip it in a hot cup of cocoa. Let it melt a little bit. Give your beverage a little bit of that Built Bar flavor. You have a nice, melty Built Bar to go along with it. And then you also have some of those marshmallow treats. You need to get your hands on Built Bar Puffs. They're light. They're fluffy. They're marshmallowy through and through. They got different flavors, all covered in chocolate. They taste so good, you won't believe that they're filled with protein. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you get 15% off your order. Go to LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order at built.com. Okay, Scott Campbell, again, I like that you're rolling your sleeves up with this and trying to come up with something. Here's what I like about his plans. I like his plans focus on creating certain regional rivalries. I like the fact that it reduces the season to 144 games. I'm for that because I think it may reduce injuries. If you're going to have an expanded playoffs, you don't want to have the 162 game schedule on that. I would love to see teams in the playoffs more at full strength. I would love to see the season end, the regular season end in early September, when most people are checking out anyway, and to be able to have the playoffs be played in weather that feels like baseball weather, and that takes into account that most people have moved on from baseball when the school year starts and the summer ends. You know, don't scream at the tides. I really disagree with his idea of continuing the All-Star game in the middle of the season. I think we have to start. I mean, to me, that's one of the great no-brainers, is to start the season with the All-Star game. It's a great way to kick off the year. So Scott and I, you and I will disagree on that. There's something, and I love the idea of all series being three-game series. It's great. It's really great. And you could kind of, you can add, this is, I just thought of this right now. If you have every series be a three-game series, you can add an element of a tiebreaker scenario. Like, let's say, I mean, not in terms of entrance into the playoffs, but let's say you have two teams that have identical records. Who's going to have home field advantage? You know, you can have head-to-head matchup is the first one. There are other elements. I think series one, the most number of series one should be a tiebreaker element. So if every series is a three-game series, it adds a little bit of pressure. If the series splits 1-1, who's going to win that series? Not just in terms of building up wins during the season, but it may also come to pass that if you've won a bunch of series, then, you know, then it means that could determine a home field advantage situation in the playoffs. So I'm just throwing that out there. My biggest problem with it, though, again, this could work by making almost all your play in a division, which is like four teams. The idea of having a crummy division skyrockets when you have a smaller number of teams in said division. You could have a division that has two or three really good teams, and you can have a division where you have four teams that are garbage. And then inevitably one of the teams from the garbage division will be in, and one of the teams from the really good teams and one of the good divisions will be out. And I mean, that's my reason that if we are going to continue having, you know, this is going to sound weird, Scott, but if you're advocating to keep American League and National League, and you're saying that they have no interleague play, which I disagree with that. I think we should have, if American League and National League still exists, there should be limited interleague play near the middle of the season where it's a little bit of a novelty. That I'm all for. But to say none of it, okay, so you really don't want to see the Mets, Yankees, and you know, Cubs and White Sox. Yeah, I know there's some of the interleague matchups are, you know, are duds, but some of the intra-league matchups are duds. But you know, if I feel if you're going to keep the American League and the National League, then you just get rid of divisions. And you just say, forget it. There are no divisions. And what you do is you take the top three teams in the division. They automatically get in the postseason. And then four and five have a play-in game. That's what I would do. But again, I'm all for, you know, thinking and coming up with new ideas. My biggest problem with your plan, Scott, is that it kind of like tries to have it both ways. It's having the regional thing, but still separating where the obvious rivalries could be. So I don't see all that will be solved from that. I like your thinking, and you have some really good thoughts in it. And again, whatever they set up baseball at, I'm going to watch it because I love the game. But I think you got to go all in either way. Either we're doing ALNL, and we're just throwing out the divisions, the best teams in there, a little sprinkling in some interleague play, but you have two separate leagues, or we go regional. And again, there's some cross-pollinization between the regional divisions, but it's mainly played within your divisions there. And with eight teams in each division, you're more likely to have your best team not be a clunker. That's my thoughts. If anyone else has any thoughts of how you would do it, please, please, please either send it to me via Twitter at Sully Baseball, send it to me on email at info@sullybaseball.com, or make a paper airplane, throw it in the air, and maybe it will catch a gust of wind and land in Pasadena at the luxurious Lockdown MLB studios overlooking the historic Rose Bowl, where I sit on my throne awaiting command. But hey, thanks so much for making us your first listen, as we're available for free on all your favorite podcasting platforms. Thanks, Scott, for writing in. Everyone else, be sure to write in and have your second listen be Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis from Lee Sterling. Hey, this was fun just sort of talking about poetry, Justin Upton, realignment. This is what the offseason is going to be like. We're talking hypotheticals. We're talking questions, things to ponder. We're going to be getting into the minutiae and sometimes getting kind of silly. This is Locked On MLB. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.